Good afternoon, everyone. This is Edward Philip, and today we've got a couple of wonderful guests on Teleseminar Nation. I have Phil Johncock and Kathy Perkins, the WordPress Wizard, here with me today. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
And before we get started with talking about how you can use blogs to enhance your teleseminar, let me give you a quick commercial. We always like to let our sponsors be known. And this week, our sponsor, again, is the Big Seminar. Phil is going to the Big Seminar. Are you going to the Big Seminar, Kathy? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, not this time. I've been, but
okay.
I'm not going to this one.
I knew you'd been to many.
Oh, yes.
And this is the 13th Big Seminar hosted by Armin Moore. He does some great teleseminar preview calls. So go to the Teleseminar Nation site. And right there, kind of in the middle, just go down a little bit, right across from the follow Teleseminar Nation on Twitter, there is a spot for you to click and see what's going on with the Big Seminar. It's coming up November 6th, 7th, and 8th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we'll want updates from Phil while he's there. But for now, we're going to get going with the show. I'd like to let the two of you introduce each other after I just say a few words. Kathy, I appreciate the fact that you put up my blog, Teleseminar Web Folk. It continues to work great for me. I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Phil, I'm so glad that you got out on your bicycle today. I always keep track of that because I have many, many years of bicycle experience under my belt and proposed to my honey, Marilyn, on a bicycle tour. Most of you don't know that yet, but it was in Japan, in Hokkaido, the northern island of Japan, and we were on a six-week-long bicycle tour at that point. So it was a lot of fun and, of course, a very productive proposal since we've been married for 33 years. So, Phil, why don't you you and Kathy get us started here, and I'm going to look up a couple of extra things here and take care of a little bit of the noise while you're getting us started. Could you do that?
I would love to. Welcome, everybody, to the call, and I'm going to let, being a gentleman, let Kathy go ahead and introduce herself first, and then I'll go ahead and introduce myself. So, Kathy, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Glad to. And thank you for being a gentleman, by the way. Appreciate it. I'm Kathy Perkins, the WordPress Wizard, and I help people turn their blog posts into profit. I teach people how to blog and how to market and how to get themselves out there and known and liked and respected, which is a very important thing out on the Internet. There are so many people who are not worthy of your respect. So if you are one of those people who are worthy of respect, I teach you how to do that in a not-in-your-face way. So I also install blogs, but my main focus is teaching people how to do it themselves and then how to market yourself once your blog is up.
Great. And I'll go ahead and jump in after you, Kathy, if that's okay.
Yep, go right ahead.
Okay. My name is Phil Johncock, and actually, Kathy is a mentor of mine, and I still continually learn from you, Kathy, and appreciate all that you contribute to the blogging community and to the people who are wanting to turn their blog posts into profit. And I've been online since 1997, is when I created the Internet's first online class in grant writing, and that class has been going steady since 1997. I've expanded in other areas of training people in grant writing specifically, and then in the last couple years have turned my attention into helping people also get on the Internet and helping them make money online. And last year, I started exploring WordPress and absolutely love it, and have found that if you want to get online and you don't want to spend, which I think is sometimes you don't want to waste a lot of money on a web designer, and you want to do it yourself, you want to save money, and you want to get your content up quicker, then WordPress is the way to go. So that's a little introduction to me. I don't want to put down any web designers at all, but I do have know a lot of people who spend money on it when they don't have to, and a better alternative is for them to set up with WordPress. So I support WordPress, and that's an introduction to me.
And I appreciate you both. You promised to do a few things today, and I wanted to tell the people that will be listening on a recording or can't be at the teleseminarnation.com site to see what you put up, or actually that you gave me about today. And that is one of the things is that we have promised people that you're going to tell people what to do before a teleseminar on your blog, what to do during a teleseminar on your blog, and what to do after a teleseminar on your blog. So I'm excited about that because I consider you both mentors when it comes to WordPress, and I often listen to Kathy's weekly show that she does on Wednesdays at noon Pacific, I believe it is. Maybe it's 3 Pacific. I've forgotten. Kathy, could you clarify that?
It was at noon Pacific. I have suspended those for the month of October while I'm teaching my WordPress workshop. And then in November when I come back, it's going to be all new. It's going to be the Wizard at Teleseminars rather than the Wizard Weekly. People have gotten a little bit used to the Wizard Weekly being like half an hour at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern or noon Pacific. This is going to be all new. We're going to intersperse teleseminars and webinars, hands-on learning. We're just going to do a lot of new things, and so it's going to be, when it comes back in November, the Wizard Teleseminars.
Well, thank you, because that's the first I had paid attention to that with my travels. I am excited about that for you. So let's get right into the call, and where did you get started in blogging, Kathy?
I got started in blogging in 2004, actually about 2003 for blogging itself. At that time, blogging was just more like keeping a personal journal online, and you had just a few choices of blogging platforms. Blogspot, as it was called then, I think it was Blogspot, now it's Blogger, same company, different name, had a free platform for people to put up their personal journals. Nobody sold anything. It was just your personal thoughts. And then in 2004, I decided that I would get into the dog training arena, believe it or not, and a friend of mine suggested WordPress. It was brand new at that time. I think it was version 1.0, or maybe it was less. I don't know, but I'm sure that the first version was probably 1.0. And I was a mainframe computer programmer for most of my previous life. So I like to look at programs and take them apart, see what they did. And since WordPress is open source and always has been, I took WordPress apart and looked at it and found it to be the most elegantly written program that I had ever seen. And so I said, yeah, I got to use this. So eventually, I did a little bit of dog training stuff, but eventually I just fell so in love with WordPress, and it didn't take long. It was still in late 2004 or early 2005 when I started helping other people with their WordPress blogs, and have been at it ever since.
That's magnificent, and people have previously heard a lot about Phil and his experience online, but with blogs, where did you start, Phil?
I started last year with a group of 10 authors for a book that I published 10 books in 3 years, and after that I decided to do an e-book, and so I had 10 different authors from around the world, and we were coming out with an e-book last year called Guide to Home-Based Business, and one of the authors was creating a blog. She said, well, why don't we create a blog to go along with the book? And then why don't we have all of the authors contribute, add a post, and then let people ask questions? And so I had been using FrontPage since 1997, and so I didn't want to learn. I resisted it, but once I learned about it, and once we got the different authors all contributing, we were getting hundreds of visitors every day, and I saw the real power in it, and the search engine optimization went right to the top of Google. So that was how I got started, and kicking and screaming, but now I'm Yahooing all the time.
So I don't know which one of you is proper to start with this, but how did you realize that your blog could enhance a teleseminar? You know, just the whole experience of that teleseminar.
I'll go ahead and start, Kathy, if that's okay. I've got a short story to begin with. And my experience having done teleseminars since 2001 with the Hendrix Institute as a trainer, I found that I was getting asked a lot of the same questions during that time, and I would have to go into my website and create the website and front page so that I could have any resources available. But I found that with the blog, I could start to have all the resources and answer a lot of the basic questions that people had and handouts and things that I wanted to give to them. I could set it up in less than 10 minutes. I could have it set. So it came to me as a resource for helping the teleseminars and anticipating what questions they might ask and providing resources on the blog. So that's how I got started in it before how to use a blog before a teleseminar. And Kathy, I understand you have even a better story.
Oh, I don't know which one you're talking about. I have several.
Okay.
Give me a hint and I'll tell that one.
any of the stories that you have about when you realized that you could use your blog to enhance a teleseminar experience? And I know you work a lot with Alex Mandosian, so I imagine you have a lot of stories with him.
Yes, I do. But actually, I figured out that teleseminars and blogs just fit together like a hand in a glove while I was consulting with a lot of different marketers who were doing teleseminars. And, you know, it's like a light bulb. I said, wow, well, let's talk about your teleseminar. You can publicize it that way. And that's the first way that I sort of started integrating teleseminars and blogs. And then I met Alex and talked to him about his blog, and he asked me to do a blog audit for him, which scared the daylights out of me because it's not easy to tell Alex Mandosian what he's doing wrong. So I worried and worried about that because there were so many things on his blog that he could have done better. So I kind of framed it like that instead of saying, oh, you're doing this wrong. I told him a lot of things that he could do better. And he has said this many times, and he proved it to me that day, that he's a better student than he is a teacher. Hard to believe, but he took notes. He wanted me to write up what I had told him, and he did everything that I suggested, and his blog was much better for it. So then I became his blog manager and eventually his traffic manager, and spoke at his teleseminar secrets, and I spoke at virtual book tour secrets on the faculty. I was very, very privileged to be able to be on both of those faculties. And then on his Asia Internet Marketing School, I was very privileged to be able to teach people in Singapore virtually. I didn't go to Singapore, thank heavens. But we did virtual training for people in Singapore on how to blog, and they loved it. They were just thrilled. So that's kind of my teleseminar blogging integration story.
Mm-hmm. And Ed, there when we were, you and I were both taking Alex Mandosian's teleseminar secrets this last year, and Kathy was a faculty there, and there was a lot of tweets going back, a lot of stuff on Twitter, and Twitter is really a microblogging platform, so it's a mini blog, and it's more sort of instantaneous, although blogs are pretty instantaneous too. And I found the power of the microblogging with we kept tweeting a particular hashtag, pound TSS, and with all the tweets. And when you get quite a few people tweeting and putting that in their messages, pretty soon Bob the teacher noticed that we had gotten in the top 10 for the trendy Twitter topics. And so then we started bringing it to different people's attention, and then Alex made it actually part of his teleseminar, mm-hmm. And had people tweet and you know, had to, in many cases, train people how to do it. And then it got into the top five. So it's really interesting, you know, using a microblogging platform like Twitter and how that can enhance your teleseminar. So that was another instance for me where I could really see the power of blogging with teleseminars.
Yeah, and I have one more thing to add, if you don't mind.
I'd love it.
Okay, about the tweeting that went on during the teleseminar secrets. Alex didn't know about that at first, and in one of our weekly meetings, I said, "Have you? You know, I know you're teaching, and you are a little bit busy during that time. But Alex is a great multitasker." I said, "You know, during the next session, watch what's going on Twitter and pound to it TSS." And he was absolutely amazed. And in one of our discussions, we talked about the fact that during Teleseminar Secrets, there were, of course, each time there are many, many new people. And when you're new to Teleseminar Secrets, as Alex likes to say, and I think it's really true, it's kind of like drinking water from a fire hose, because Alex gives so much information that sometimes people are a little bit overwhelmed. And so what we were able to do on Twitter was, when new people had questions, veterans jumped right in to answer those questions and help them and say, you know, breathe, it's going to be okay. All of this will be explained in due time. And when people had specific questions, veterans jumped right in and answered those questions too. So Twitter enhanced Teleseminar Secrets beyond even what I could believe. And Alex was totally impressed when he was finally able to start watching what was going on while he was speaking. He was just totally impressed.
I loved being in that chat room for Teleseminar Secrets. It was pretty amazing, and it was amazing how many people that weren't in the class were asking us what the pound tag
TSS. What is pound TSS? What is pound TSS?
Right.
Well, that's because there was so much activity that it probably just clogged the main Twitter stream.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Now, you know, Twitter drugged me screaming and kicking, just like Phil, into blogging, seems like. I may have had the blog, but I'd already decided to take Teleseminar Secrets, and it was really the microblogging platform that got me to really understand that a full-blown WordPress blog would be useful. And one of the things that impressed me about you, Kathy, was that you put your teleseminars right onto your blog. You had a blog page, and you put mm-hmm. the players on the page, just like I'm doing for Teleseminar Nation now. But I'm emulating what you did. Not doing this, you know, as a first-timer. You know, it's always a new experience, but I'm following a good lead here. So what do you do before you put a teleseminar on your blog, since now we said you can put them there?
I talk about them. I talk about what we're going to talk about. I tell people when it's going to be. If it's a free one, like the Wizard Weekly and the Wizard Teleseminars will be, I promote them because I'm not really selling. I am selling subtly because I'm getting people on my list and building my list at the same time, but I'm giving away something that's really, really valuable in return, so I do promote those on my blog. I don't really think that it's probably a good idea to promote heavily the stuff that you have for sale. People don't really like that a lot. There are ways to do that subtly, too, but for free teleseminars, I blatantly promote them because I'm giving away something of good value, and I talk about what we're going to talk about.
Beautiful. Bill, do you have a comment as well on that?
Yeah, I think we learn from each other, like you say, that you followed a good lead. You know, Kathy's a good leader, and so you got some ideas from her. I got some ideas doing a similar thing that actually to before the show, I could put the HTML, just copy and paste the HTML code of the teleseminar itself and put it on the site. You have that with, you know, you use Instant Teleseminar. Sometimes I use Blog Talk Radio. And I can take that actual show, the little code for the show, and stick it directly either on the sidebar or in a post or on a page. You know, there's several different places. I call that, you know, syndication. You're really syndicating your show. And as Kathy says, promoting it there because you're giving away something, you can actually even have your show right on your site, and then other people can have the show on their site too. I loved watching, you know, different people who go to different blogs, and you can see how the show is showing up in many different locations. So that's a real biggie. That's what got my attention with blogging, was say that, you know, we can actually, you know, syndicate our shows. And then to add to that, to the promotion, there are some things that I've done beforehand. Like even for this show, I'm going to give you a URL. And I came up with, I don't know about you, Kathy, but I've got 10 different things to do before the show. And I have those listed, and you can go to, if it's okay, Ed, I'll give the website.
Oh, please. I hope you will.
It's one of my favorite names, getonlinein2009.com.
You mean the one URL I can remember, getonlinein2009.com?
Yes, getonlinein.
I have mentioned that so many times for you, Phil. Go ahead, Rich, mention it again.
Well, getonlinein2009.com, so you can follow there, and all of the I have 20 different strategies, and I know Kathy has quite a few more, and some of hers are included in this, you know, are the same, but I just drafted this, you know, 10 beforehand strategies. And one of those is creating a poll. So there's a poll right now if you go to Get Online in 2009, and you can vote. So I can I basically ask a question. I don't know, probably should go there. And okay, so the question is, how many blogging strategies do you use consistently to enhance your teleseminars? How many blogging strategies do you use consistently to enhance your teleseminars? And so people can go there and they can vote. And if you're new to blogging or you're starting out, there are some great plugins. I use WP Poll as a plugin, and then you can just set up a poll and, you know, just ask people and go and vote. And I got that idea from Twit Tips, the blog, and they have a lot of polls that they have on different topics. So if you've got a topic of your webinar or teleseminar, you can create a poll. Also, what I did for this particular show is I found a couple of I found a YouTube video that coming up. You know, there's going to be the Blog World Expo in Vegas, and I found a video that was done last year of some of the top bloggers, and they have three top bloggers giving their top blog tips. So I found that, and then I just copy and pasted the URL from YouTube and put it in as a link. Then I found a blog post, and it actually is an Alex Mandosian blog post about the most something about the best squeeze page ever. And
I think that is the title.
What's that?
I think that's the exact title, the best squeeze page ever.
Yes. So I put that in as also a link on the Get Online in 2009 as an article link. And then we're going to have a giveaway. I hope we get to it before the end of the show, but there's a link there as well. I know you have one on the teleseminar secrets. And then I also like to put visual resources, sometimes like a PDF or a Word document, like an action guide or a handout or a PowerPoint presentation or case studies or resources. I put those on the site ahead of time. I like to put an image that sometimes it can help with the storytelling. And so I have an example there of my story that I like to do with Ed about finding coins as I ride my bike. So I have an asphalt penny story that there's an image there. And then I have several different systems of opt-ins on the site so that what I find with teleseminars that people – I just got a tweet yesterday, a lady who said, oh, I missed your show on Tuesday. I wish I had a weekly reminder. And so I said, oh, well, just go ahead and sign up as a there's an opt-in on the page, and there's several different types of opt-ins, and then you'll get a notice by email, and you don't have to worry about it. So every time there's there's a teleseminar coming out, you'll get an announcement. So those are some of the things that I do before a teleseminar. Anything you want to add to those, Kathy?
Yeah, a couple of things that I do too. On my opt-in for my teleseminars, I let people ask their most burning question about WordPress, and if I can, I answer them personally. I can't answer them all personally, of course, and some of them are a little bit too complicated. And for the ones that are complicated, I turn those into teleseminars. So that gives me some ideas about what to talk about. It's not easy coming up with a subject every week, so you can let your readers do some of your footwork for you in advance and decide what it is you're going to talk about. And you can do that with the burning question opt-in, and you can also do it very effectively with polls. Because there are many polling, and I like to use SurveyMonkey. I like to send my polls out in email. You can use SurveyMonkey and have a free form field where people can ask questions and tell you what their problems are, if that's the subject of the poll. You know, do you have problems with your blog? Do you have problems with this or that or the other thing? And from the answers that you get or the questions you get in return, it's great, great fodder for teleseminars, blog posts, articles, anything you can think of. So let your readers tell you what they want, and then they're very, very interested when they know that maybe their question is going to be the subject of an entire teleseminar.
Now, that's a good tactic, but, you know, there must have been a couple of those that I hadn't even heard of before, so I love interviewing experts because I always learn something, and you're both experts, and I thank you. How about during a teleseminar? What do you do during a teleseminar to enhance it using your blog?
Oh, I have a great one for that, and Phil touched on it. I take the code, that you could, from InstaTeleSeminar, which is very easy to get when you're setting up your InstaTeleSeminar. You can either have your teleseminar where your listeners go to InstaTeleSeminar itself, or you can get the code and put it right on a blog page inside of your blog. And so that's what I do because, you know, people listen, but they like to do other things. They like to kind of multitask during teleseminars. So why not have them multitask right on my own blog? So I put that code on a page in my blog so that when it's time for the teleseminar, they come to my blog to get the dial-in information, to actually listen on the web, to ask their questions and get their action guide. And so they're on my blog during that time that we're doing the teleseminar, and hopefully they're exploring around in my blog while we're doing the teleseminar.
Well, we certainly hope that they do that at Teleseminar Nation, you know, post their event while they're listening to our guests or start a discussion or they're in the forums or somewhere, because as a community there are so many things to do, and just having the players there gives them that excuse that they need to come and do some of the other things that they'd like to do, like posting their event for this week or next week and getting a little bit of extra PR. Phil, do you have a comment on that, or have you already filled in on that from your earlier thoughts?
I agree with Kathy. I think that if you can, the more control you have over your audience and where they go, if they go to your site to listen to it, then I think there's a lot of advantages to looking around. So I definitely, you know, agree with that. Also, it's true with videos. Ustream I did an interesting experiment back in February. They had a national or international Bikram Yoga Championships in Los Angeles, and they had it streamed on Ustream. Well, I figured out how to just copy and paste that code from Ustream into my blog. So I had the local people, I gave them my blog, And I had them go, and we had a young lady competing in the international competition, and she had updates coming to us, and then they were updated, and we had a Facebook page connected to it, and it was all positioned on my website. So it works also with video and with the Ustream especially. So I definitely support that. A simple one that is good is to ask for comments. Kathy is a comment genius, and one of the things during a show is just to ask for people to leave comments on your blog. And so on Get Online in 2009, if you have a strategy or if you have an idea, if you have, you know, any thoughts at all related to what we're talking about, you can leave a comment there on the site. Also, you have the same thing on your teleseminarnation.com site where people can leave a comment in your discussion board. They can ask you questions, of course, during it. So probably a third area would be to be able to have the ability for people to ask questions during the show and have a way to do it. I find that Instant Teleseminar is great for people to ask questions. My webinars, GoToWebinar has a question feature. And then I also notice that some people feel more comfortable with either Twitter or some people with Facebook. I have a lot of comments that will come from Facebook only because the people are more familiar with it. And so giving people during the show an opportunity to ask questions using a whatever format is familiar to them, I think will enhance the engagement and your ability to find out, what people's questions are. And it also engages them, because teleseminars, you know, is a listening modality primarily, and having the ability to ask questions in different ways, I think, enhances your teleseminars.
I love putting the action guide or a study guide on the blog or website where the teleseminar is hosted, much like you do, and that's to take it out of being a single modality, a single hearing, and get people to be seeing it and writing it at the same time, and maybe even seeing my picture. I had a little challenge today putting your pictures up, but typically I love to add that visual stimulation to an event. So is that part of your strategy? It sounds like it is, Phil.
My background is education, a master's in teaching, and I've been interested in various modalities, delivery systems, we call it in education, learning how to how we can replicate and maybe even improve on the live experience, and so as many different modalities as possible. I also think that one strategy that I like is, and it's a fun strategy, is to hold a contest and to do something where you give away. We did this as an experiment, and there's a link on this on the Get Online and 2009 site where we had a couple of people in the Teleseminar Secrets training, Noah St. John and Maritza Parra, had new books that they came out with. And so we did a special that if they went to the blog and they it gave them instructions for the contest, and it was like three simple instructions. One, you sign up to follow Noah on Twitter. And then two, you tweet your friends that you did that, and the tweet message was actually on the blog, so all they had to do was copy and paste it. Now there's a lot of automated services that will do that for you. And we had, about in a 24-hour period, 385 people did that, entered into the contest. And what we gave as the prize was an autographed copy of the book. So it really didn't take much effort to get a lot of interest and a lot of people signing up for the teleseminars. I think the third step was to actually sign up for one of their virtual book tour free teleseminars. And that whole process of having a contest and having it on the blog was, we got quite a bit of traffic in just a 24-hour period. So that's another example of something that could be done during a teleseminar.
I tweeted and signed up, and I was already following Noah. So you engaged me in that one. 235 tweets in the 24-hour period. That's a lot of people who heard about it. If we just assume that people had 500 followers on Twitter, that's a huge number, and we know that many of the people had much larger followings. So potentially you had, a million people hearing about this. Not that they all heard about it, but probably tens of thousands actually saw those tweets. And that's pretty amazing. That's a lot of coverage just for putting up a book, even a signed book, as a prize. I love it. That's great. So for those of you listening, all of you teleseminarians that are listening, take note that one book that cost the author $5 or $10 to print got him 385 tweets. Now, he had some people strategizing with him and coming up with this idea, but still, you've just heard the idea. You can use it. So I think we've covered the idea of what to do during the teleseminar pretty well. How about after the teleseminar? Kathy, are you going first on that one?
Sure, I'll be glad to. I always put up a replay page where I put up the audio replay of the teleseminar itself, And I also put the action guide on that page for people who may not have been able to get it or download it or want to listen later and download the action guide at the same time. And I always use action guides for teleseminars. It helps people focus. It gives them a place to take notes. And it just gives them one more mode of learning. So I always put an action guide, the action guide, not an action guide, the action guide for the call up on the replay page. And then I tweet about it. I write blog posts about it. I let people know that it's there and available for them. I send emails about it. So there are so many things you can do after the teleseminar. And you can also then email the people who were actually on the teleseminar and ask them if they have any questions, which, again, gives you more stuff to talk about later.
And how do you focus on the folks that are just on the teleseminar because you have them sign up for that specific teleseminar, Kathy?
Well, if it's a webinar, I know exactly who was there. If it's a teleseminar, I don't know exactly who was there, but I do email to that list of people who expressed interest and ask for the dial-in details.
Great. Thank you. Phil, do you have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree with Kathy. I've found that works very well. A lot of people, probably even as much as 50%, cannot be on a call while it's live, but they can listen to the replay. So, for example, you have a replay of this call, so maybe people are listening to the replay, and you've got that up for a while, so that's something after the fact. Also, that a variety of different people can, like I know you had a variety of different people can have the replay up. I remember back to your first premiere call, and Warren Whitlock had, you gave him the code, he put it on a blog, I put it on a blog, and we had several people who had the replay up on their blogs, which I think is a pretty spiffy way of syndicating. There are probably two other areas that I can think of, at least, but one is sometimes questions that come up in the teleseminar, you don't have time, or maybe it's not appropriate to answer that question in front of the whole group, but you could handle that one-on-one, or else you could maybe, put your comments in, so you write the answer, like Kathy says, it's the fodder for, another teleseminar, or it could be, the answer could be provided on your page that you've created after the fact to answer, any questions that you weren't able to do in the teleseminar. And then also sometimes there's resources that you might think of that you want to give to people after the call based on the call. So I was on a 2 days ago on a teleseminar on fundraising using Facebook, and the facilitator, somebody said, oh, well, is there a glossary of terms? Because in Facebook especially, you've got your fan page, but in fundraising there's all kinds of additional terms. And so the facilitator said, that's a great idea to have a glossary of terms. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to post it on the blog, and it's going to be up in a week. And so I thought that was a great example of taking a suggestion from the teleseminar and then converting it into content that could be added to the site.
Do either of you then podcast, or do you mention in a later blog post that they can go to the podcast at such and such a place? Or is that something that you avoid on your blog? About the podcast of the teleseminar.
I want people to come to my blog. So the only place that I have my replay up that I put up, other people can do it, and that's fine with me. But as far as I'm concerned, the only place that my replay is available from me is on my blog. So I do not podcast my teleseminars.
I use the Blog Talk Radio platform quite a bit, but I haven't done as much with podcasting, so I'm not a good person to provide any help. I know that some people have had success with that. That's great. I think if they can do it, I don't do podcasting much myself personally, so I haven't gotten into it much.
Thank you. You might strategize, and we'll get back together on this question. This is one of the ones that you can answer off of the show, but what do you think of our podcasting, our Teleseminar Nation calls, because we're hosting them on the homepage. It's very valuable real estate. We can't leave them up forever in that spot, and so we think that we can extend our listenership and get more people back to the site by podcasting. So write that one down, and we can talk about it later. I'm interested in your thoughts about that, but I don't want to hit you broadside since neither one of you are big on it yourself. So we'll just talk about it at some other point. Now, I did want to mention that there's an absolutely free bonus. It's right below the players on the teleseminarnation.com site that comes from Kathy, I believe, and it's 13 commenting strategies and a study guide for how to do these, how to make comments on blogs. And I think that's exceptionally important because those links coming back are very valuable to you in the long term. Did you want to speak to that for a moment, Kathy?
Sure. Commenting is one of the best ways that you can get yourself out there and known, you know, in the blogosphere. And I'm not talking about inviting people to leave comments on your blog, although that's part of your overall commenting strategy. But what I'm talking about here is where you go out and find blogs that you like and leave comments, because generally speaking, you can put in your website. Your name then becomes a clickable link back to your website, and it just gives you some great incoming links. It gets your name out there. It gets traffic to your blog as well as those incoming links, which are really, really important. And if you leave really good, thoughtful comments, and I don't mean great post, I mean something provocative, if you pose a different point of view, not in a mean way, but say, have you thought of it in this way? Or if you ask a question, that's a great, great commenting strategy, is to ask questions. People will come to your blog and see what you have to say. You might get in a conversation with the blog author or with other people who are leaving comments on that blog. So commenting is just an excellent and very easy, by the way, very easy way to get yourself out there and get yourself known.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate the fact that you're willing to give the listeners something on that. Do you have a URL separately for that you could quote? Or I'll just give them a short link for it so that it's really, really easy. It's http://cli.gs/commenting. So that's pretty simple. You know, every URL that you ever see out there starts with http://. You can find that right out of the address bar on your, you know, anytime you're on the internet. So all we're really talking about is cli.gs/commenting. So that's an easy way to pick up this free report from Connie. I do that all the time with the beginning letters. With Kathy, my good Kathy. I'm sorry, Kathy. That was a slip of the tongue, and I hadn't even talked to anybody with that name recently. So
that's okay.
Just a me-ism. And but Ed, I think it's very generous of you to give that, and I love the idea that on Get Online in 2009, you have listed out for people a lot of the ideas that we've discussed in the call today in a very easy way for them to pull it down and to keep looking at it, almost to use it as a checklist or an evaluation of what they've done with their calls or what's available to do with your calls. Now, we have a few more minutes left, and I did want to mention that next week's show,
I'm going to be at Blog World next week, and I have not specifically set up a show with any one individual because I have every assumption that I will be talking to bloggers and authors right and left, and we'll have somebody of significance from the blogging world with us next week, or maybe five or six people if I can get them all to dial in. Who knows? That's one of the adventures of doing a live show on the road and not in your normal place. So that'll be a big adventure, and I'm looking forward to it. So I hope everybody will come back to teleseminarnation.com next week, which would be, let's see, is that the somebody who's got a calendar handy? That must be the 15th.
The 15th, yes.
Thank you. The 15th of October, and at noon Pacific time, we'll be on the air and ready to go. Kathy, I'll bet you've got some more stories for us. Just tell me one story about how you came up with the idea to put your players right on your blog. Something that jumps out at you.
I was investigating over at Instant Teleseminar because I really didn't like all the rigmarole you had to go through to make the page look good. Of course, you don't have to do anything to it except put up the title and the time and date of your teleseminar. But I just didn't like the rigmarole and the rigidity. I mean, if you want to put a picture up and it's not exactly the right dimensions, it looks all skewed. It either looks tall and skinny or short and fat, or you know, you just have to get it right. And I said, you know, there has to be a different way. So then I happened to see in there when you're setting up your teleseminar, totally custom webmaster required. And I said, whoa. That's for me. I got to see what that is. And all of a sudden, it just popped at me. Oh, my gosh, that's the code. You can put this on your own site. And so I tried it, and it absolutely worked with a little bit of finagling. And now they've got it better, by the way. You don't have to finagle so much with the code. But it's just a perfect way of bringing people to your site instead of to the Instant Teleseminar site, where you have to go through so much junk to get the page looking right.
Now, Kathy, on your replay pages, do you just create a new page on your blog for that specific week's replay?
Sort of, but not exactly. Here's what I did for the Wizard Weekly. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I haven't quite decided what yet, but for the Wizard Teleseminars, it'll be a little bit different. But what I did for the Wizard Weekly was I just kept reusing two pages. I had the Wizard Teleseminars /ww-live. That was the live page for each week. I replaced what needed to be there with what was there with this week's information. And then I had the Wizard Teleseminars /ww-replay. And that's where I put the replay and the current action guide for each week. And that was up for an entire week until the, you know, or a week in the day whenever I got the next replay up. So people had the entire week to get that. And it was downloadable anyway, so people could just go there and download it if they wanted to. So I just rotated those two pages. And reuse the same page over and over. I'm going to do something a little bit different for the Wizard Teleseminars because there will be webinars also, which will be video. So I haven't quite decided that format yet, but they'll be up longer.
Okay, very good. Now, what is your thought on having the teleseminar up for a day or a week or longer, or leaving it up indefinitely?
I followed Alex's lead on that. He either says, don't have it up at all, make them go, you know, especially if it's free, make them go to a little bit of trouble. You know, if they want to hear you, they have to be there live. Well, I can't quite do that because I know people have very busy lives and I want them to hear what I have to say because I think I have something good to say. So I leave mine up for a week. And after that, they will go into my membership site, which I'm developing right now. So you know that they'll have an entire week to listen for free. And after that, they'll be able to hear everything inside of the membership site.
And I love the fact that you're reusing the content, even though you're not making it free anymore.
because I've been on the Wizard Weekly, and everything I know about taking WordPress and updating it from one version to the next comes from you. Now,
thank
that
you.
Doesn't mean that I'm not afraid of it yet.
Oh, everybody's afraid. I'm afraid sometimes.
I haven't done it enough times that I'm just completely comfortable. But everything I know and every bit of comfort I have about that comes from you. So
thank
you. And there are so many other things from having listened to you so many times. Now, I can't say that I've made every show or that I can even make it every week. Sometimes
sure.
I just space and there's something else going on that's really big, like I'm traveling this week. I've hardly had access to my computer. So even if you were doing a show this week, I couldn't see that. Now, did you ever make those shows available if somebody asked on an individual basis?
Yes, I have done that for individuals who have just a really excellent excuse, like, oh, gosh, I'm traveling. I don't have much access to my computer. Yes, I have made those available to individuals.
I'm not asking for any this week.
I know, and there isn't one this week anyway.
But
just as an example, yes, I certainly have done that.
Well, if I could chime in, Ed, too, that I think what Kathy is doing to repurpose the content and creating a membership site is something that anybody doing teleseminars should be thinking about, a membership site.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Kathy has a great has experience with creating membership sites, and I think that's something any teleseminar giver should be thinking about. I also, if possible, just in a short moment, mention back to the free 13 commenting strategies video that you're giving away. I got to participate in that live. And I used one of the 13 strategies landed me in the LA Times.
That's a great story. Please
Whoa.
Tell that, Bill, because that's just it's unbelievable, but I do know it's true. So please do tell that story.
Well, with the time, I know you're getting to the end of the hour. The story is actually in the video, so if I don't get a chance to tell it, it's actually on the video. When people sign up to get the 13 strategies, the story is told of how I took one of her strategies, posted on a NASA blog, was the second person to post, and how that led for me to, it's a little more complicated than we have time now to say. So I'll just say, get the video so you just to hear that story. But also, that's just one of the strategies. I just applied one of those 13 strategies. So if a person is really interested in increasing their prospects, they're increasing their publicity and increasing the profits, then that's a great bonus gift that Kathy's giving out. So I'll say that and keep the story for the video.
Okay, and please get the video because this story is really and truly amazing. I just sat here with my mouth open when I heard it from Phil the first time. It's just wonderful.
I want to see him do it on video because I've heard it when we've been talking on the phone together, but I haven't seen him tell this story, and I'll bet he's got some great stuff going on. So that free report, that's free video, is at http://. And if you've already got a browser up, just go up there and backspace until you get to that, and then put in cli.gs/commenting, and they're all small letters. And so you'll get this free video very quickly, very easily, and I'm headed there right after the show. So this is great. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd stick on after I turn off the recording mechanism here in a moment, I'd like to ask you a couple of strategies for me at Blog World, and maybe we'll share those with the listeners on a future show after I've come back, so or perhaps next week. But this is going to be private for now. We appreciate all the listeners to Teleseminar Nation. It is a pleasure to serve you. We hope that you'll come back. We hope that you'll use the site to calendar your events so that people, other people can see what events you have coming up and plan their schedules around you. So Edward Phillips signing off for Teleseminar Nation Live. Again on Thursday, we'll see you next week. Take care. Say goodbye, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.